After the Meraglim returned from spying out Eretz Yisrael, they came back to the Machane Yisrael, they came back to the Jewish camp, and they gave their report, a negative report that was, they said Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael, they said this is not a land that we can conquer, they're going to defeat us, there are giants, we don't want to go. And they convinced essentially the entire nation. They convinced all of Bnei Yisrael that this is not the place they want to go. Right after that, the Torah tells us in Bamidbar Yudalad Aleph, Vatisa Kolo Eda, Vayitnu Es Kailam. The nation lifted up their voice, Vayivku Ha'am Balailahu. And the nation cried on that night. On that fateful night, the Gemara tells us in Tainis, Chav Tesam and Aleph, in Sanhedrin again, in Kuvdal and Amibayz, Amar Rabba, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi says the name Rabbi Yechanan, Oysa Laila Leil Tisha Bafoya. That night, when the spies came back, the Meraglim reported what they had to say, and it was accepted by Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael cried at that night was Tisha B'Av. Amar lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and this is what was recorded, the name of Chazal and their Ruach HaKadosh, this is what Hashem had to say about that crying. Atem b'chisem b'chiyah shalchinam, you cried for nothing, v'ani kaveh lachem b'chiyah l'dayres. For that I will set permanently that this night will always be for crying. Gemara doesn't say necessarily it's this night, but you cried for no reason, and therefore I will set permanently that there will be continuous crying for generations. Why did Klal Yisrael cry that night? This Gemara we heard already before this evening. But did we ever think, why did they cry? What was the reason they cried? There were many times during the travels in the desert that they didn't like things. They weren't always the easiest to please. Whether it was about water, whether it was about food. And they had what to say to Moshe Rabbeinu. They know when they wanted to complain, they complained. And they came over and they staged the revolts. They complained. They said, we want to go back to Mitzrayim. We like the food better over there. We've got to remember the cucumbers over there. So where's the water? We want meat. When they had what to complain about, they complained. So if they wanted to say, hey, we don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael, so let them come to Moshe Rabbeinu and stage a complaint. No, they cried. Crying is a very interesting emotion when a person cries. A person cries when he's sad. Were they sad? And if indeed they cried, and we could somehow understand what this crying was for, then why is it chinam? Why is it b'chiyah shel chinam? Why was it for naught? Why was it for no reason? Why is Hashem charging them and saying, you cried at b'chiyah shel chinam? Why was it chinam? Maybe there was good reason for them to cry. You know what the crying was? The crying was a b'chiyah shel tshuva. Klal Yisrael were crying out of tshuva. People crying Yom Kippur, because they're doing tshuva, because they feel bad for what they did. It was crying out of remorse. We find this in the Sfarno, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his words of reproach, his Divrei Musar, to Klal Yisrael at the end of his days, when he came to the story of the Meraglim, as he spanned all of the short history of Klal Yisrael and pointed out all the times and all their failings, the times when they complained, the times they went wrong. When it came to the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu says like this, Vateirognu ba'aleichem. You complained in your tents. Vateimru, and you said, Besinas Hashem Eisanu, Hoitzianu Meretz Mitzrayim. La se se sonu biyadho amiri lahashmidenu. Out of Hashem's sinner towards us, Hashem has taken a disliking towards us because of what we did wrong. And therefore He's sending us into the hands of the Emori, Lahashmidenu, to destroy us. That's why they were crying. They said, now we must do tshuva. We're crying because we know where we're heading. We're heading to our death. We're heading to our destruction. The Sforno says on that pasuk, "Bisinas Hashem Eisanu, Amasha Avanu Avedizar b'Mitzrayim." Because we served idols in Mitzrayim, Hashem is now paying us back. Lo Sei Sasonu Biado Amiri. Even though Shafal Pishiyesh Tekel Yodei Lichbeisha So Amir Al Amisam, certainly we know we've sort of seen Hashem's power. Certainly we know that He could wipe away all the Amiri in Eretz Canaan, but He's not going to do that. Hashem is now going to take retribution. Hashem is going to give us over in their hands and destroy us. And for that reason they cried. And they said, it's all over. And they cried to Hashem and they said, we understand what you're doing with us. And for that reason they didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. No one wants to walk to their death. So they cried out of tshuva, but yet they cried and they said, we really don't want to go into this land. And Hashem says to them, "Atem bechisem bechia shel chinam. You cried for nothing. Vani kaveh lechem bechia l'deiros." Well, why is it a bechia shel chinam? Sounds like a very good reason. Sounds like they had good reason to cry. No one would say a person crying on Yom Kippur is doing anything wrong. So here they cried out of tshuva. Why is that chinam? Why is that for no reason? And the answer we have to understand is because that Hashem promised them. And Hashem promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov already. That you're going to ultimately, after all your travails in Mitzrayim, 210 years of slavery, of oppression, of suffering, but after that you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu promised them. It came through the Shvatim, through Yosef, until Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem said, I'm going to redeem you and bring you to Eretz Yisrael. And here you lost your faith. You lost your faith in Moshe Rabbeinu, in His word. You lost your faith in Hashem. That's for nothing. That Hashem says, I can't expect that. After all of the promises, that's beneath you, Klal Yisrael. You shouldn't have cried. There was reason to cry. But if they would have thought about it properly, and they would have regained their composure and their emunah, then they wouldn't have cried. Many, many years ago, I was a little boy, I was staying at my friend's house. And his little brother, well, I guess was about 4 years old, wanted an apple. And his father said, if I give you the apple, you have to eat the whole thing. So, yeah, I'll eat the whole thing. You sure you'll eat the whole thing? Yeah, I'm going to eat the whole thing. Okay. He gave him the apple, and I'm sure to everybody's surprise, after 3 bites, he says, I don't want any more. I don't want any more. So another father said, no, you have to eat the apple. He says, no, my teeth are hurting. You heard that excuse? That's a good one. My teeth are hurting. So I was just playing on the side with my friend, and all of a sudden the father says, bring me a knife. Bring me a knife. And the kid starts shrieking. Bring me a knife. The kid is petrified. He's shrieking as if someone's gonna murder him. And, you know, it was humorous, but like, what's going on over here? And I didn't understand what's happening. Bring me a... Finally, the father also, like, you know, what's going on? Why is he shrieking like this? Now, of course, what happened was the kid thought that the father's going to cut off his teeth. Meanwhile, the father wanted to just cut the apple into slices to give him small pieces to be able to eat it. So the kid was screaming. The kid was crying. Was it for a good reason? Yeah, in his mind it was a good reason. He thought someone wanted to cut his teeth out. But
Had he been more mature, he would realize, well, this is his father.
This is a father who loves him. That's what he's going to do. Of course, there must be some rationale why this is happening. There must be some reason that even though Meraglim came back with the report that there are giants over there and people are dying over there, and the Mefarshim, we don't go into it now, explain everything could have been looked at in it with a different light. And therefore Hashem says, that's a Bechiyah Shalchina. You cried, and you thought you had a good reason to cry. But Hashem says, you lost your Amun at me. And therefore the crying is for Chinam, the crying is for naught. There's no good reason to cry. And Hashem says, for that, you have to be Mesakim. You have to fix this. Something you have to correct now, you must correct that Bechiyah Shalchina. And the only way that you rectify crying is with crying. Hashem says, therefore, I'm going to set now, forever, a bechiyah l'dayris. The only way you're going to correct your sin of crying, for no good reason in my eyes, because you lost your emunah, and that's why you cried out of this tshuva, which was not warranted at that moment, Hashem says, therefore, you're going to have to cry l'dayris. And that crying will be a tikkun, that will be mesakin, all of the crying that Klal Yisrael did. So there's two possible ways of being misakin this sin of all of Klal Yisrael. Vativ vatisa kol ha'eda, vatisa es kailam. All of Klal Yisrael cried, and all of Klal Yisrael must rectify that sin. All of Klal Yisrael must cry again. But there's two possibilities how we cry. We could either cry for the right reason, and that's because we cried that we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Essentially, that's what they were doing. They were crying, and they saying, we know we're going in. We're going in lahashmidenu, so the Amorim could kill us. So they cried that they don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, now you'll have to cry to get into Eretz Yisrael. Now I will set a bechila deris that whenever you're not in Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem foresaw obviously that there will be times there will be an exile outside of Israel, now you'll have to cry to get back into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says that the amount of tears that I need to rectify, whatever that amount is, but those tears have to fill up this bucket, or this barrel, or this valley. And if you don't cry properly, if we don't cry and beg Hashem and cry to Hashem to be able to go back into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem has other ways of making us cry. And there's been many tears shed throughout our long galus, and those tears are also collected. Hashem in His great chesed takes those tears also, and He also attributes it to the Bechiyah L'dayris. He says, I'll take those tears as well. All of the tears of personal sufferings, all of the tears of national suffering, all the tears of Klal Yisrael, for all of the sufferings throughout, I'll put that and collect those tears as well, until the amount of tears that are needed to be Misaking this Bechiyah Shalchinam is completed. And particularly on the night of Tisha B'av, Belel Zeh Yivkiyun V'Yililu Bonai, that this is a night of crying. And this is the night of tears, we say in the Kinnis. We're about to embark on the 9 days. Tisha B'av is a time maybe to reflect and think about these sad thoughts, about crying, about suffering. But if we wait to Tisha B'av, we have a very small window then of opportunity to be able to shed some tears. Hashem gave us 9 days. Chazal understood that we need time, more than just the night of Tisha B'av and the day of Tisha B'av. Now we need 9 days to reflect about these ideas. But this is what's left. What's left is, Hashem says, there must be tears to correct the Bechiyah Shalchinam. Listen to a Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachis, Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis, also Gemara B'Mitzia, Netesam, and Aleph, which really shows and brings out this point clearly, I believe. Amr Belazar, Belazar says, "Miyem shenechrav Beis Hamidosh." When the Beis Hamidosh was destroyed, ninalu sharei tefillah, the gates of tefillah, the gates where all our tefillahs ascend and go up to heaven, were closed. Shenemar, as it says, a pasuk in Eicha, Paragimel, gam ki ezak va'ashaveya sosam tefillosi. Gam ki ezak va'ashaveya, even when I call out and I daven to you, Hashem, sosam tefillosi, it's closed. Rashi says the windows of heaven are closed. They don't let the tefillahs in. Continues the Gemara, va'afal pi sheshare tefillah nilu. Even though these gates of tefillah have been closed, sharei demais lo ninalu. However, the gates where tears enter has not been closed. Shenema, as it says, a pasuk in Tehillim, shima tefilasi Hashem. Listen to my tefillah. Vishavasi hazina, and give ear to my supplications, David HaMelech asks. But I'm not sure if they'll make it through. I'm not sure if they'll penetrate those closed gates. But El Dimasi, to my tears, Al Techerash, that you can't be silent about. As Tosfos explains, David was confident, he says, that way of davening through tears, that will get through. That Hashem cannot remain silent about. That's why, even though the Gemara says that kol ha'sha'arim minalu, all gates really of heaven have been closed to some degree, but sharei oino le'minalu. When a person is in pain, but the first and the Rishonim explain that's because when a person is in pain, then he cries, and the sharei demais have not been closed. What this Gemara means is as follows. Right after the building of the Beis Hamikdash, the inauguration ceremony of the Beis Hamikdash, Shlomo HaMelech made a yomtiv, 7 days and 7 days of simcha over the Beis Hamikdash. And in Malachim Aleph Perichest, we read all about this exuberant simcha that took place. And we also read about Shlomo HaMelech's tefillah, a special tefillah that he composed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the moment of the erection of the Beis Hamikdash. And essentially he asked, if you look at that whole parak over there, you look and he says, no matter what happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether there are things between, you have things between two people, and they come and they want to make up with each other, they come to the Beis Hamikdash and they want to do tshuva. V'yata tishma shemayim, listen to their tefillahs. Or if we're under the attack of enemies, they'll come to this place, this will be the vehicle of davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anytime there's a tzara, no matter what, individual tzara, or a klal tzara, you'll come to the Beis Hamikdash, like Mamel says, Rov kiyeh ba'aretz, dever kiyeh ba'aretz. No matter what will happen, there will be hunger, there will be a plague. They'll come to this place and they'll daven through this Beis Hamikdash. The Beis Hamikdash is the way all our tefillahs ascended to Shemayim. Even Gamas Hanochri Hashalom Am Chisrael, even if non-Jews come to the Beis Hamikdash, this is the place you go if you want your tefillahs answered. That's the place where we bring karbonis, we want to repent, we want to daven to get our relationship back with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the place you go. This is when the Beis Hamikdash was standing. So we had a place where we were assured all our tefillahs would ascend heavenward. That's where we went to daven. That's where anybody needs to go daven to get their tefillahs answered. They went to the Beis Hamikdash. And the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So kol ha'sha'arim ninalu. So all the gates of heaven are closed as well. Chutz mishari demais, except for the gate of tears. Why is that left open? Because that's the only one that will get us back to Beis Hamikdash. That's the only shar, that's the only gate that must remain open. Because that's the only way to rectify the sin of the Bechiya Shel Chinam. So that must stay open. It's necessarily that is the only gate that remains open for these tears to go up to the heaven to be able to bring the Beis HaMikdash back. We have a bracha in Shemoneh Esrei, several that deal with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, rebuilding of Yerushalayim, of the coming of Mashiach. And in the bracha of Tzemach David, which is the bracha dealing with the seed of David HaMelech, asking Hashem that He send Mashiach to redeem us, as Tzemach David Avdecha Meheira Satzmiach, that the seed of David should quickly blossom. The Karnei Torah Mishuasech Mishuasecha, and the salvation should come with strength, as a horn of an animal represents its strength. You see, when we daven for Mashiach, we depict it in a way of a seed. If you have a seed in the ground, you have to water that seed. If you want it to grow, you have to water it. So Rav Schwab Zatzal tells us, how do you water the seeds of David? There's only one mashka, he says, that waters the seed of David. That's tears. The tears that are shed throughout Klal Yisrael, whether it's tears for Tzaris, or whether it's tears for the Tzar HaShchina, that the Shechina is in Golus, and that Hashem is Kaviyachal in pain. Whatever tears they are, they saturate the ground, and they are the watering of the Tzmichas of David, which is Mashiach. Rabbi Elie Lapian writes, or he said this in a shmooze, and it was recorded in the Sefer Lev Elio. He says he remembers when he was a young boy. Says it goes back 75 years. So now it's already over 100 years. He remembers during the 3 weeks, the period of Beit HaMitzarim, he says he would walk in the afternoon, any given afternoon of the 3 weeks, he would walk into any shul, any Beis Medrash, he says, and there were people sitting on the floor saying Tikkun Chatzos, davening, saying Tehillim. He said, who were these people? He said, they were regular people. It was the regular, it was the shoemaker, it was the baker, it was the tailor. Regular people. Not the Rosh Yeshiva, not only the Rav of the city. Regular people would come. He says they understood what it meant to be in the 3 weeks where now is the time where we can bring ourselves to shed tears. Now is the time where these gates which the tears go through are wide open, and Hashem is waiting for that. If not these 3 weeks and not these 9 days, then when? Purim with davening for the Beis HaMikdash. Yom Kippur with davening for the Beis HaMikdash. This is the time. Since it made such an impression on him, they closed their stores, they worked for a few hours in the morning, then they closed their stores and they came in and they said Tikkun Chatzos. When he said it, he says, of course, now you don't see that anymore. You certainly don't see it anymore. And this was 25, 30 years ago. So, we're always good at coming up with excuses of why we can't bring ourselves to daven anymore like they did. We can't bring ourselves to cry anymore like they did even 100 years ago. So I found a good excuse. Our generation is called the Dor of Ikvasa de Mashiach. The Dor of the footsteps, or more literal, of the heels of the Mashiach. Why is our Dor called Ikvasa de Mashiach? So there's an explanation from Rav Gedalia Shur, Zichrono Livracha, which he has in his Sefer Ar Gedalia, and his son Rav Avram Shur Shlita, he brings in his Sefer as well, in the name of his father. Ikvasa de Mashiach could be understood like this. Hashem created the world, And he created Adam HaRishon. After Adam HaRishon sinned, so all those who came after him, all those people and generations that came after him, are essentially, the Svarim tell us, are rectifying, correcting the sin of Adam HaRishon. And just as Adam HaRishon, we're told in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, his body spanned from one end of the world to the other end of the world. His head was in one place, his feet in another place, whatever that means. He was able to see from one end of the world to the other. But that means that his entire body spanned the entire history of the world. And therefore, when we come to correct that sin of Adam HaRishon, we have to view it like that as well. The history is the makeup of a human being, starting at the very top, working its way all the way down to the bottom. What the Kabbalistic Svarim called the sheer kaima of a person. And therefore, the earlier generations, they started to be misakin the head of Adam HaRishon, and then the face of Adam HaRishon. And it goes further down, lower and lower and lower, until we finally get to the bottom. We get to the foot. That means the last generations before all of it is corrected is represented by the bottom of the foot, is represented by the heel. The heel of a person, because a person is always banging it and has to walk on it, so Hashem made it that it's part of the body which it feels very little. The Gemara tells us that Ein Basar Chai, Basar Meisha B'Chai, Margish B'Izmal, that dead skin or dead flesh on a living person doesn't feel the knife. It doesn't really feel pain. If you have a piece of dead skin, even though it's on a live person, it's not painful to take it off. The heel is the part of the body also which is such hard, tough skin that even if it's poked with a knife, doesn't really feel it. That's the Dor of Ikvus of the Mashiach. That's our generation. Our generation represents all the way down at the bottom. We're the last generation. Hopefully the generation that will usher in Mashiach. And therefore we're compared to the heel, or we have to misaken the heel. But we're so thick. And Hashem is banging on us. And Hashem is cutting us up even. And we don't even feel it. It doesn't really penetrate. And maybe that's why we can't bring ourselves to cry. We're too thick, we're too stiff. Like our hearts are covered with the flesh of the Akev, of the heel. And it can't penetrate and bring us to crying. At the same time, when this is a good excuse, on an individual basis, on an individual level, but you all know the famous words of the Gemara at the end of Tainus, Lamed Amid Beis, worth hearing over, Simchos Yushalayim Vigiluba Kolayavel, says the Pasuk. Rejoice, Yerushalayim, V'gilu b'kolay avel, all those who love it can also be glad, sisu ita, masais, kolam misabel maleha, and be happy and rejoice with it, with the rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Who? Kolam misablim aleha, all those who mourn for her. All those who mourn for Yerushalayim will be able to be present at the rejoicing of Yerushalayim. They'll be privileged to dance in the streets of Yerushalayim when it's rebuilt, those who properly mourned over it. That's what Chazal say, Mikan Amru. Kol HaMisabu Yerushalayim, Zeiche V'rei B'Simchasa. Those who mourn properly will merit to see the rebuilding and the joy of Yerushalayim. V'she'enei Misabu Yerushalayim, Enei Rei B'Simchasa. Those that don't mourn properly will not merit to see the rebuilding and the rejoicing of Yerushalayim. So everybody's obligated. We have to do something. Somehow we have to find it within that dead skin of ours. We have to find a way to mourn properly over Yerushalayim. As the Maseilas Yesharim tells us in the end of Perek Yutes, he says, "What will a person is going to say? A person will say, who am I? I should daven for the Beis Hamikdash. Far greater people have davened for the Beis Hamikdash, and it hasn't helped. The Beis Hamikdash hasn't been rebuilt. So am I davening? I'll try to shed a few tears. That's going to do something." To that, the Maseilas Yesharim says two things. First of all, he says, "Lefikach nivra adam yechidi." Every person must say to himself, "Bishvili nivra olam." That's why Adam was created as a sole individual, not as Klal Yisrael, not as a world, but as one individual. The Gemara tells us, "Why did Hashem do this?" Say this because every single person must say, "I am the only individual in the world that I have to do whatever it takes, and if it's to daven for the Beis Hamikdash, it's to shed tears. That's what I have to do." It will give so much nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If his children were davening for the Beis Hamikdash, will give nachas to Hashem, even if it doesn't not rebuild, even if it's not yet the time, even if our tefillas, our tears are not strong enough, or even if we don't have enough collective tears, but at least we've done our part. It hasn't reached the time, but for other reason. First of all, it could be the tefillas will help. Says the Maseilas Yesharim, "Lefikach nivra adam yechidi." It could be this one last person whose tears will be enough for the Beis Hamikdash to be rebuilt. And secondly, even if not, the person has given nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps this too is too hard to try to bring out sincere tears during the 9 days, or even on Tisha B'Av itself. Perhaps that is also a task too difficult for our generation of Ikvas of the Mashiach. So we find an interesting concept. David HaMelech came to our rescue. And David HaMelech says in Tehillim, it's the capital of Tehillim, it's the chapter we say when we recite Tachanun. When we put our heads down, Nefilas Apayim, there's a pasuk which we say, Kishama Hashem Koil Bichi. Hashem has heard Koil Bichi, the voice of your crying. What is the voice of your crying? What is David HaMelech saying over here? It's not tears. It's not that Hashem has seen your tears, has heard your tears. It's the Koil Bichi, it's the voice of the tears. The voice of the tears means that even if a person can't bring himself to cry, at least he can bring himself to krechts. He can bring himself to sigh. He can bring himself to moan. That too, Hashem, in His infinite kindness, He takes all of those moans and groans. But when a person is upset, or if a person hears bad news about this person who is sick, or this young person who died, or this sorrow, or that sorrow, and a person doesn't even cry, but he sighs, and Hashem says, even that I'll take. I'll be satisfied with that as the Bechiyah L'dayres. I'll use those tears as well, even though they're not real tears, but it's just a Koil Bechiyah. It's the voice of the tear. It emanates from the inner heart of a Yid. I'll take that as well. The Medrash tells us that there are 10 Lashaynos of Tefillah. And one of those Lashaynos is Na'aka. Na'aka, as it says in the beginning of Shemais, Vayishma Lekimis Na'akosam. Hashem heard their Na'akosam. Hashem heard their moan. It's not that they gave this to Hashem. They were just moaning under the burden of work in Mitzrayim. And Hashem says, I hear that Na'aka, I hear that moan. That Koil Bichi, I also hear. And perhaps Hashem in His Chesed will accept these as tears as well. Ahem.
we believe as from Yidden, which should be obvious to everyone, that men and women are different and have different roles and different strengths, different character. So let me share with you a Gemara that really tells us that we're counting on the women to pull us through. The Gemara says in Megillah Yudal and Aleph, Sheva Neviyos Nisna B'li Yisrael. There were seven women who prophesied. Who are they? Sarah, Miriam, someone say Chana, Chana, Devira, Chulda, Esther, and Abigail. And the Gemara cites Psukim to prove that each one had prophecy. When the Gemara gets to Chulda, Hanaviah, the Gemara tells us the story of how we see she had Nevuah. The time is towards the end of the first Beis Hamikdash, before the Churban of the first Beis Hamikdash. The king is Yoshio HaMelech, a righteous king indeed, a tzaddik. And he's trying to clean up the Beis Hamikdash from previous kings before him who had decimated it and brought in Avodah Zarah. And he sends in we read in Malachim Beis, Perek Chav Beis, Yeshua HaMelech sends in Shafan HaSofer, Shafan the scribe. He says, go into the Beis HaMikdash and meet with Chilkiyahu HaKoyein, the Kohen Gadol. And Shafan goes there, and as soon as he arrives, Chilkiyahu tells him, I just found the Sefer Torah. What's so surprising about that? That's because Achaz, who was one of the wicked kings, had rid the Beis HaMikdash and every place else from any Sefer Torah he can get his hands on. He destroyed the Sifrei Torah. And Chilkiyahu found a Sefer Torah buried underneath somewhere in the Beis HaMikdash. And he's excitedly telling Shafan about his new find. I found a Sefer Torah. And he says that it was opened up to Parshas Kisavai. It was opened up to the Teichacha, the rebuke in Parshas Kisavai. And Shafan said, well, what did you read? He said, I read Yoylech Hashem Oyscha Ve'esmalkacha. I read the Pasuk there. It was opened up to the Pasuk that Hashem will send you out, Klal Yisrael, Ve'esmalkacha, and the king as well. So Shafan returns to Yoshio HaMelech and he tells him what happened. And Yoshio HaMelech says, well, what did you read over there? Where was it open to? And he read what it said. The Pasuk says, Vayikishmaya HaMelech es divrei sefer Torah vayikra es begodav. He tore his garments when he heard what they were reading. And then Yeshua HaMelech called in Chilkiyo HaKoyen, Vesachikam ben Shafan, Vesachabar ben Mechiyo, Ben Shafan HaSofer. And he said, go seek out Hashem. What does He want from us? In what way should we do tshuva? Is this already as our fate sealed? Is it too late? Is there going to be a Churban? Go find this out. Is it Kigadela Khamas Hashem Ashay Nitsa Banu Allah Shalai Shama Vesenu? Go find this out. Vayela Kilkiyoakain Vachikum Bahbar Vishafan. They went El Chulda Hanavia, Ashes Shalom Ben Tikva Ben Chacham. They went to Chulda the Navia to find out what's the message from Hashem at this point. And Chulda told them what's going to happen. Chulda said,
Tachas asher azavuni, because you forsook Hashem, vayikadru lelem acherim, and you worshipped the Baal, you worshipped Avodah Zarah, and you angered Hashem. Because of that, Hashem has become angry, and Hashem says He's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And He will send out the king as well. However, since the king, Yoshio, was a tzaddik and he did tshuva, he will be saved and be able to be buried with his fathers. Asks the Gemara the following question. Who is the Navi at the time of the first Beis HaMikdash? Who is the Navi that went day in, day out, week in, week out, to reprimand Klal Yisrael, to tell them about the impending doom? Who wrote Eicha? Who wrote exactly what's going to happen? Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was there. Asked the Gemara, how could they go to Chulda HaNaviyah if Yirmiyahu HaNavi is sort of the presiding Navi? So how could they go to Chulda? Asked the Gemara, Uvamakim Dikari Yirmiyahu Heki Misnabi'i. How could she give prophecy when Yirmiyahu, presumably a greater Navi, was prophesizing at that time? So the Gemara says, how she could do it, that's because she was a relative of Yirmiyahu and he was not Makbid. He didn't care that she also prophesied. But the Gemara says, but how could they go to her in the first place when they should go to Yirmiyahu? Amri debei Rav Shila, Memnesha Hanoshim Rachmoni Yosein. That's because women have Rachmanis. Says the Marsha, the Rachmoni Yosein, Utevakesh Aleyem Rachamim Lishanois Meira L'Toiva. And therefore they were hoping that by going to Chulda, Chulda would then daven that the decree should be changed. Chulda would daven that it should be changed, Meira L'Toiva. Could you imagine what that means? There's a sefer, Chidusha Halev, from Shmuzin, from Rav Henoch Leibowitz, at Tzal. He said, do you know how much Tsar Yirmiyahu HaNavi had over his people? Over that there shouldn't be a Churban? How many times did he go? He was thrown into jail and he came out again and still wrote Eicha again and came back again and was trying to get them to do Shuvah. How much tsar did Yirmiyahu have? Were they afraid he wouldn't daven properly? Were they afraid he wouldn't shed tears over the Beis HaMikdash? That it shouldn't happen? That they couldn't go to him? The Gemara is saying that since Chulda, Nashim Rachmaniyah is saying they felt epesvas, maybe a little bit more. The tefillah of Chulda HaNaviyah could be a little bit more. With a little bit more emotion, a little bit more tears, a little bit more kavana, and therefore they went to her. We all have to do what we can do. We all have to do our part. And whatever we can do, we're required to do. Both for ourselves, to after 120, Hashem will say, did you daven for my Beis HaMikdash should be rebuilt, that I should be able to go back to my home in Yerushalayim? Can we say that? Can we at least muster up a koil bichi? Some emotion, some krechts, while we're davening, while we're saying, pick one brach in Shmona Esrei, v'Yerushalayim ircha, es tzemach David, one bracha, to say a little bit slower, with a little bit more emotion. That's what the responsibility is. It's a medrash, I heard many times from my Rebbe, the Medrash in Yalkut Shemayni in Tehillim on the capital of Al Nahareis Bavel, capital Kuf Lamed Zayin, where the Medrash tells us that when Klal Yisrael were going into Golus after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Buzradin, the general, was leading them out, he told Yirmiyahu HaNavi that you are the leader and I have orders to give you a choice. You could either come with us to Bavel, or you could remain here with the remnants of Jews that are staying in Yerushalayim. The choice is yours. And Yirmiyahu opted to remain in Yerushalayim. Says the Medrash, Notlu Agolias Eseinayim. that those who were going into exile, headed for Babel, they lifted up their eyes, Veroes Yirmiyahu, Shapir Shmiyam, they saw Yirmiyahu was departing from them. And they all started crying. Go kulam bevchiyah v'tzavchun, when they started calling out to Yirmiyahu, Rabbeinu Yirmiyahu, haitam nechenichem enecheru, how could you leave us now? We need you to come with us. Sham bachu, that's where they cried, shenem al nahareish bavel, sham yashavnu gam bachinu. So the Midrash tells us, Yirmiyahu answered them and said, Meyed ani alai shamayim v'aretz. The heavens and the earth can testify for me. Ilu bechisem bechia achas. Had you cried one sincere crying, asha'atam b'tzion, while you were still in Yerushalayim, loy gilisem, you would not have been exiled. And my Rebbe used to say always, that's the achrayas that we have. We don't know what the barrel of tears are up to. We don't know how many more tears are needed. We don't remember how many tefillas are needed. But here we see one sincere shedding of tears. Yirmiyahu says you wouldn't have been exiled. The whole decree, you would have been abolished. And the same goes for us and the ikvas of the Mashiach. Us stony-hearted people who don't feel much, who can't bring out the emotions when it comes to davening a bechia for the Tzara Shechina, but at least a kol bechi. At least to have some rachmanis on ourselves, some rachmanis on our dar, some rachmanis for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to daven, and maybe this bechia achas shall bechi or shall kol bechi will be the amount of tears or the emotional cry that we need for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to finally let the seed of David sprout, will be a semach David Avdecha, the karnei karmishu asacha.